What happened this weekend? Ordinarily, we'll see the odd move made as teams kind of shuffle around for picks. But a lot of times, you go into the draft hearing big names are going to be moved, and a lot of times it doesn't happen. This year, aside from Phil Kessel, it's like everything happened. What was your read on the weekend?
Well, it's one of those times, man, where we go through a situation where we all predict big things are going to be happening, and we actually were right for a change. You know, honestly, Dean, we thought this was going to occur because every team was saying that free agency wasn't really going to solve a lot of people's problems this year, and it went out and happened. And the two biggest linchpins were the Calgary Flames and the Boston Bruins. And I was surprised by the trades that happened. I was told on Friday morning that the Kings had made a run at Lucic, but they couldn't get him. They couldn't make it work. And then obviously that changed. And I did have an idea that Dougie Hamilton was going to get traded on Thursday night, but I didn't see Calgary as the team. I really thought that if the Bruins were going to do it, it was going to be to get a high pick, or it was because Edmonton actually agreed to give them Darnell Nurse. I didn't think it was going to be to Calgary. So there were a couple of real stunner moves there, but I don't think anybody should be surprised that stuff happened.
So why did the trade between for Dougie Hamilton with Calgary and Boston, why did it happen? Because certainly it seems like a really good deal for the Flames, and I know that you have to, time will tell, but it sure seems like this is a fantastic deal. Why were three draft picks, that was shake hands, that was good for Don Sweeney?
Well, I think the reason it came down to was if you look at the three draft picks, that's pretty much what an offer sheet would have been. Don't forget that when the Boston Bruins, and Don Sweeney was a member of the organization, when they traded Phil Kessel to Toronto, what they traded for Kessel was around what an offer sheet would have been at that time. Because Burke was threatening to trade, was threatening to offer sheet Kessel, and instead they made the deal. And that's the way they did it. It was offer sheet style. So there is history in that organization to do that. And now that I'm thinking about it, I probably should have put that in my vlog yesterday.
Yeah.
But I didn't think about it until now, until you put it in my head, Dean.
That's right.
The other thing, too, is that I don't think there was a ton. One thing I'm getting for sure is when I was on the draft floor and the Hamilton trade was breaking, Brad Treliving was there and he was doing his trade call, pacing around. We could all see it. And that was when some of the teams were coming in and there were guys coming up to us and saying, are these Hamilton reports true? And we're like, yeah, and we're pointing to Treliving on the trade call. And they didn't know. Like, this is the thing that I think there were only about seven or eight teams that knew. I think they were all in the Western Conference. And they just decided, and as I reported yesterday, I heard that they had offered him 6 years and $33 million. I'd heard that Hamilton was looking about $2 million more a year. And before everybody freaks out about that, I think that people have to understand that these are opening offers. And I don't know if the Bruins had much room to move, but maybe Hamilton did. I don't know. The fact is the Bruins chose to make the move. And I guess they just wanted the picks. They're in a tough cap spot. And instead of taking a player back, if I'm the Bruins and I'm making that deal, I'm probably asking for TJ Brody. But they decided that they could make the move, and they wanted the picks because they were trying to move up with Arizona, and I believe that's what their strategy was going to be. And right now they're getting roasted, but time will tell.
They are getting roasted, and I just wonder if you're Don Sweeney, if you're going to try to reload this thing or reset it, would you not be better off moving older veterans rather than a 21-year-old who looks like an elite defender in the making if he isn't one already? I mean, I would be shopping Zdeno Chara if I'm this guy, not Hamilton.
Yeah, but, I think that's probably all true, Ryan. But first of all, Chara's got a no trade, so there's a limited amount you can do there. Secondly, I don't think you're going to get the return for Chara that you would have for Hamilton. I mean, we can argue about how good it is, but I'm not sure that... Look, if you look at it, Kevin Bieksa was going to get Vancouver a second-round pick before that deal fell apart. What are you getting for Chara at this point in his career? And he's got 2 years left past this one on his contract. So that's probably... And, you know, I hate it when a guy gets traded and they all start to... And people start to assassinate his character. Didn't fit in. Uppity
he's
guy.
I guess, uppity, yeah.
I'm using one of the Boston... And what a word to use, my goodness. But, in the Boston Herald, you know, that says to me that the Boston Bruins had evidently decided that Dougie Hamilton, they weren't going to pay him. So when you've decided and you've made that move, that's the move you're making for better or for worse. Now, you know, I don't know about the kids that they drafted, although I had one, you know, coach in his league tell me he really thought Zboril had a real chance to be something. So, I mean, we'll see if it works out. But you're right. On this day, in 3 years from now, we might look back at this and say, oh, okay, I understand. But right now, we're all looking at this like, what? Because the whole thing with Lucic, too, was they asked him, you know, what are you thinking for your next contract? I don't think they ever got to money. He just said 8 years. And they were looking at five, and they just said, we better make this deal. You know, everybody's going to ask for 8 years. And this is the thing. Like, an opening negotiation is don't undercut your own position. Like, when Dean goes in to negotiate his contract with Kelly, they go to him, well, Dean, what do you want? He says, well, I want $1 million. Because if you come in too low, you're destroying your own position. And we all know Dean. He gets his $1 million.
Well, actually, you know what? Yeah, it goes the other way. I come in, I'm like, you know what? I am worth a great deal, but that's too much. It'll make everyone else jealous, and I just want harmony.
That's right. That's I understand that about you. You're a great team player. Yeah.
It's Rhett's deal, though, the one you're thinking
of. Yeah, that makes us all sour. What else did you hear? Because I know before, even as recent as the awards in Vegas, there was talk about Jiří Hudler. Anything more on that front?
No, I didn't hear a ton about Hudler, I have to say. The one thing, like, I think if the Flames decide to do it, I think Pittsburgh is a nice fit. You know, the one thing about Pittsburgh is Jim Rutherford's sitting there, and he's got a lot of teams calling him. He's got Chicago calling about Patrick Sharp. He's got Toronto calling about Phil Kessel. He's got St. Louis calling him about TJ Oshie. He's got Carolina calling him about Jeff Skinner. And I think what he's just doing is waiting until to see if one of these teams crack. And, you know, everybody's looking at Pittsburgh and saying, oh, they're desperate to add a winger. They need to add people to play with Crosby and Malkin. Well, I think Jim Rutherford's kind of looking at it the other way. Yeah, you know, we need a winger, but some of these teams are desperate to make moves. Toronto wants to unload Kessel in the worst way. Chicago's got to create cap room. St. Louis is looking to change their group. Carolina would like to get rid of Skinner. Who's going to make me the best offer? And, it's a gigantic poker game. It's a big game of chicken. They're all sitting here, and they're all saying, okay, which one of us has the biggest ones? And I think he's going to try to wait some of these teams out. It's a really interesting strategy because we all look at it like, oh, my God, Pittsburgh's got to be desperate to get wingers. Rutherford's looking at all these other teams saying, you're all desperate to unload salary. Which one of you is going to make it worth my while to do it? I think they went pretty far down the road with Kessel. I heard Toronto was willing to take a couple of their contracts back. I wonder if it would be like a Scuderi, maybe a Kunitz. But then becomes the question is, okay, if we're going to do that, how are you going to make it worth our while? Are you going to give us two prospects? Are you going to give us Derek Pouliot? Are you going to give us Derek Pouliot and somebody else? And then you've got Pittsburgh probably saying, look, we'll give you one prospect and some picks, but we don't want to give you two of them. And that's kind of, I think, where they were.
A thought on Peter Chiarelli's day, aside from the fluking into McDavid.
You know, I thought it was interesting. You know, I got really mixed reaction to the Griffin-Reinhardt deal. I think the Oilers were really excited because they know this player. I mean, he played there in junior. Nobody saw them more than him. I shouldn't say Chiarelli, but their organization. I thought it was, you know, a big price to pay, but he's a young defenseman. If you're going to take that chance, like the thing we all said about Calgary is, you know, if you're with the picks you give up for Calgary, to get Dougie Hamilton, what are the chances you're trading the next Dougie Hamilton? I mean, if your best pick you're giving up for him is 15 and 2 second rounders, you can feel as confident as you can be that you're not giving up the next Dougie Hamilton. It can happen, but it's not as likely. You know, you look at Edmonton, Griffin Reinhardt gave up a 16 and a 33. You know, the question comes down to, are you giving up the next Griffin Reinhardt? I'd say there's a slightly more danger that Edmonton's giving up a player that will hurt them more than Calgary is. But you know the guy the most. You take your chance. And I do think Edmonton is a team, all of a sudden, with a lot of talented young defensemen who have a chance. You're looking at them now, and you see Reinhardt, you see Klefbom, you see Nurse, you know, you see what they've got, and you say, okay, it makes a lot of sense. Plus, they got Talbot out of there. Now, they were in on Leonard, but they weren't willing to take Colin Greening. I think if you have a choice, if you have to take Leonard and Greening, or you have to take Talbot, I think you probably take your chance on Talbot.
I want to get you to stick with goaltenders for a moment, because I'm just curious now, with July 1st around the corner, Flames, I think all things being equal, probably would have been in the market for a defenseman. I think that's probably not so much the case now.
I don't know where they'd have room. You're right.
Leonard gets dealt. Antti Niemi has moved. Eddie Lack got moved. Talbot, Antti Raanta. They have Hiller, a UFA in Ramo, and obviously they've got there's a succession plan in place. I just wonder, is there what goaltenders could be on the move, or if you're looking for a goalie, is there somebody out there that we need to pay attention to?
Well, I think the thing that's interesting was what Doug Wilson said. Like, he doesn't have a goalie. And, you know, he says to us after the draft on Sunday, what are you thinking there? Like, you know, we say to him, what are you thinking there? And he comes on and he says, there's names you guys haven't thought of that are available or are available for cap purposes. So, like, if you have any kind of reporting interest whatsoever, you're going through the list.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would think that he's in the mix on Hiller. I'm not saying that, you know, Hiller's going to be the guy, but I would bet that, you know, he's one of the guys that Wilson is considering. You know, I had heard 2 weeks ago that San Jose was going to ask about Rask. Not make a Rask deal, but just ask, is he available? And I checked it, and I was told that Boston wasn't interested in doing it because they really don't have an internal candidate. Like, the Zane McIntyre, the kid they just signed out of school from North Dakota, and Malcolm Subban was their first-round draft pick last year from the OHL. Those guys are a couple of years away. Now, they did add Martin Jones, but Don Sweeney said he's not interested in making the deal. So, you know, I doubt that San Jose would trade Martin Jones, would get Martin Jones directly from L.A., but I wonder if Jones is a guy that they're going to look at, because they would have seen him a lot. So I think that's probably a Martin Jones-San Jose thing, and maybe a Martin Jones-San Jose thing would be potential, or maybe they're still in on Hiller. Obviously, he's going to be looking at a couple of things out there.
Staying with goalies in California, the Ducks added Anton Khudobin. I can't figure out what they're trying to do, although they seem to be able to find goalies and collect them better than anyone else in the league.
Well, you know, the one thing is John Gibson's still on a two-way, right? So they can put him in the AHL if they want to. You know, Bob Murray, you know, he's hilarious. Bob Murray's a pretty hilarious interview. He's like, tell bleeping everybody I'm not trading John Gibson. What I think he's going to do is, if he doesn't get anything he likes, he's going to take this into next year and Gibson's going to start in the AHL. You know, I think they run a risk of Gibson getting really unhappy if it hasn't happened already, but they'll have to deal with that. The thing that this says to me is that if you look at Murray's docket, guys, he's got some big contracts coming up. Kessler's heading into the last year. He's going to have to deal with Hampus Lindholm, who's got a year left until he's restricted free agent. Anderson is a year left until he's restricted free agent. I think Buffalo called about Anderson, and I think it's possible they offered the first pick of the second round, number 31, for him before they used it in the Ryan O'Reilly deal. But that was not going to do it. Bob Murray's going to take a lot more than that to get Frederick Anderson. So what I think is that he takes this into next season and he kind of says, okay, this is what I'm thinking before, and he waits and sees how it all plays out. You know, somebody's going to need a goalie, and somebody always does. Khudobin's got some pretty good respect for what he is around the National Hockey League, and eventually he's going to trade Anderson or Gibson. So we'll just have to figure out when it happens. But he says, I'm not afraid to take it into next year because he's got Gibson on a two-way.
60 to 90 seconds. Give me a hot scoop. And Chicago, I noticed, still hasn't traded anybody. The old, all I need to do is trade Versteeg and Sharp and Bickle, and they'll be just fine. Not as easy as that. What are you hearing with Chicago?
Something was going on with Chicago and Montreal for Versteeg and a fifth-rounder coming back, and it didn't happen. Now, it was reported that Versteeg asked for a contract extension. The Canadiens said no, and he vetoed the trade. Now, and I'll give Pierre Lebrun credit. He's the guy who reached Versteeg, and Versteeg said that's not true. But something happened there. Hot scoop. Well, you know, Vladimir Sobotka let the Blues know this morning that he's not coming back. He's staying in the KHL. That's a bit of a loss for them. You know, I think the Bieksa thing, maybe not to San Jose, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Canucks are working on something else. There was a lot of interest in Bieksa. There were a lot of teams that called about him, and there were about nine that really tried to say, look, we'd like to be in on this. So Bieksa has some choice, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Vancouver's trying to put that deal back together because you just don't want to have this one sit around.
All right, fella, thanks. We'll talk to you again. Enjoy your Canada Day.
Thank you, you too, guys. Are you working on Wednesday or no?
You betcha.
Yes, sir.
You actually are working?
Well, Red isn't, but yeah, the two.
Yeah, Red hasn't worked for weeks, but
okay, you know, because Mulberg, you get a lot of you're very McCown-esque with your vacation time. Like, well, it never seemed to work.
I work Wednesday, but then I'm off for the next week and a half.
He's got seven
okay, well,
vacation days
right.
Coming in. After
yeah,
I gotta
take some time.
When's my last one?
Well, I think it was like Friday.
Oh, it's this Friday. Okay.
No, I think it was last Friday.
Oh, okay.
I'm not paying you for this. I'm not paying you for what you just delivered.
Okay, well, that's good. That's no problem at all. I didn't really deliver much there.
That's right.
So this means this is the last time we're talking, Mulberg?
No, see, I can't bear to do it. I'll maybe dig into my own pocket and throw you some cash. I need to talk to Elliot. I'll miss you.
No, but is this the last time you and I are talking this year?
Well, I think it's, yeah, I think so.
Well, I'll miss you. Have a good summer.
Yeah.
Elliot, will you work for Fine Liqueurs and Micro Brews and when I'm filling in for him, or is this done?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Yeah, I'll do, obviously I'll help you guys out. It's not a problem at all, but there may not be a next year. I'm going to be considering ending all my radio stuff
because
the way that stuff is getting twisted and turned around, it's not worth the aggravation.
And, we had you trending in Russia. Come on.
Yeah, it's not worth it. The thing you love doing on radio more than everything else is just shooting the breeze and, you know, having fun and just talking hockey like you would be at a bar.
Yeah.
And it's turned, and there's a cottage industry now of people who turn it into stuff that it really isn't. And it might not be, a few of us are discussing it. It's gotten too out of control. Like when I write it or tweet it, I control it. So I can handle it as I need fit. And unfortunately, some of the stuff that's happening with our radio words, it's got a few of us considering whether or not it's a smart thing to do anymore.
It's posturing for a raise. Boom.
Yeah, this.
No, I don't do stuff like that.
This is you posturing for a raise.
If I'm back, I'm going to do it for the same amount.
Nice. And you'll be back. You wouldn't leave me. Hey, you know what? Ditch all the other losers. And by the way, we're within the same company, so you might be contractually obligated.
Actually, I'm not. I can tell you that.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Elliot.
Boy, hey, Boomer, have a great summer.
Yeah.
Pinder, I'll speak to you Friday.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, man.
We might call you Wednesday because you're a big deal.
Yeah. Okay. That's no problem.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Elliot.